हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् त्वमा विद्विषावहैः ओम् शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः So until now, we've been seeing in this chapter, Atma is never available for experience because Atma is not an object of experience. Atma has to be claimed as the very sorupam of the experiencer. Atma being the very sorupam of the experiencer. Atma has been claimed as the very experiencer. The sorupam of the experiencer. Not as an object of experience. Atma is never available for object as object of experience. In fact, every experience is Atma only. Therefore, we saw in the previous class, न वेत्ति वेद्यं तत्सर्वं न अन्यः तस्यास्ति वेदिता स वेत्ति वेद्यं तत्सर्वं न अन्यः अस्ति तस्य वेदिता सो सह वेति तत्सर्वम् इट इज दिस ट्रूथ इट इज दिस रियालिटी इट इज दिस अब्स्ट्रैक्ट सटलेस्ट रियालिटी arrived it as the swarupam of the knower experiencer, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, implied by the terms Atma or Brahma, Atma and Brahma, etc. It is this reality which knows everything. So the Atma alone knows everything. The only knower of everything is the Atma. The known are seemingly many, but the knower is one. There is no second knower other than the Atma. The only knower is Atma. Because the Atma alone knows everything. You say Atma knows everything. Sarvam Veti. Veti means knows. The verb always denotes an action. But here, this verb Veti does not denote an action. It denotes the very nature. When you say Suryaha Sarvam Prakashayati. Suryaha Jagat Bhasayati. When you say Bhasayati Prakashayati. Sun illumines the world. Sun illumines everything. The verb illumines does not denote an action, but it denotes, it reveals the very swarupam. Usually, verb itself is, in Sanskritam, a verb is called kriyapadam. Why? Because a word denoting an action is verb. The word kriyapadam. Kriya means action. But here, prakashayati, bhasayati, veti, these are all the verbs which do not denote the action, but they denote the very nature, swarupa. Illumines is a verb, doesn't reveal the action, it reveals the swarupa. Bhasayati it reveals the swarupam, not the action. Similarly, veti, saha veti tat sarvam, it is that atma knows everything, means the verb knows, that does not denote the action, but it implies the swarupam of the atma. Swarupam means, why does it know? Because knowing is its swarupam. There's no will involved on the part of the sun to illumine the world. There's no will involved on the part of the atma to reveal, illumine, know everything. But its mere presence, it knows. Knowing is illumining. Knowing is lending existence. Knowing is bringing the world to light. And knowing is the very nature. Therefore, jnana swarupaha atma. And that jnana swarupa atma janati veti knows. By its very nature. By its nature means by its mere presence. And such an atma alone, such atma is not the knower, but the knower is the atma, because knowing is its swarupam. And that such an atma is ever available as the knower, never is it known, because there is no knower of anything else. There is no knower of the Atma also. Other than Atma, there is no knower at all. And there is no knower of that knower Atma. Knower of the knower is not there. The knower of the known is Atma. The known is Anatma. The knower of the known Anatma is Atma. And there is no knower of the knower. Tasya Vedita. Vedita, the knower. Tasya Vedita Anyaha Nasti. That's what is said in this verse. Therefore, what does it mean? We need not wait for the experience of the Atma. And the known being the known, known becoming the known itself is the proof for the existence of the knower being there, and that knower happens to be the only Atma, only knower, and therefore the known itself is the proof for the existence of the knower Atma being there. And this knower Atma, the knower Atma, the Atma which has the status of being the knower from the standpoint of the known, is what? Definitely distinct. The knower is not distant, but distinct. That Atma being distinct has to be definitely mentioned here. Therefore it is said, Vidita Avidita Abhyam Prithak. Vidita Avidita Abhyam Prithak means it is Vilakshanam. It is distinct from the known and the unknown. And the known is also knowable. The unknown which is knowable becomes the known after the knowledge. Therefore, viditam and aviditam. As I told you last class, viditam means known. Known stands for the manifest world. Manifest knowledge. And the unknown stands for the avyakta prapanchaha, which is avidya. So, unknown is equal to avidya. Avidya is equal to, you can say, maya. Maya is equal to avyaktam. Avyaktam is equal to unmanifest. And then viditam is what? Viditam is equal to manifest. Manifest means the manifest knowledge, this world. So viditam and aviditam, manifest and unmanifest, are nothing but the two names given to the power of the reality. Chichaktihi. The shakti of the chit alone is given these two different names. Unknown is ati. Ajnanam is called, said, here mentioned by the word aviditam. And vijnanam, the viditam means jnanam, vidya. Viditam is equal to vidya jnanam. Aviditam is equal to avidya ajnanam. Jnanam and ajnanam, vidya and avidya, viditam and aviditam are the two words meaning vyakta avyakta shakti. So vyakta shakti is jnanam, avyakta shakti is ajnanam. And shakti, whether it is vyaktam or avyaktam, manifest or unmanifest, shakti does not have independent existence outside of the reality. So jnana ajnana yoho, vidita avidita yoho, vyakta avyakta yoho, satyam, truth, reality is the atma. This is not at all distant, but distinct. Just as water is distinct from the stillness of water. Water is distinct from the wave of the water. Wave form of the water. The form, stillness is a given form and wave is a given form in which the water obtains. But water is not the stillness, water is not the wave, but water is definitely the stillness is also nothing but water, wave is nothing but water, but water is not distant from stillness and wave, but water is distinct from stillness and wave. Similarly, here Atma, the all-pervasive, abstract, absolute reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness is not the avyakta shakti, unmanifest, not the manifest, not viditam or not aviditam. But it is not distant from viditam and aviditam. At the same time, it is distinct from viditam and aviditam. Therefore, vidita avidita bhyam prithak, and that reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness implied by the term Atma is distinct from viditam and aviditam, known and the unknown, ignorance and knowledge. See, knowledge and ignorance, that Atma is what? It need not be known, cannot be known. It is distinct. Why? Prithak bodhaswarupakam. And because, and it is always there, which is of the nature of knowing, obtaining in the form of very knowledge, very consciousness. Okay, let's see the next verse now. This we have already seen last class. Therefore, bodhaswarupakam, very important, bodhaswarupam swarupaha, swarupakaha, swarupakam. Whatever you say, bodhaswarupakam chaitanyam, bodhaswarupaha atma, a bodhaswarupakam brahma, means the reality is formless. And we arrive at the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, jnana swarupam. And therefore, okay, when you understand who is the knower, who is the experiencer, because of whose presence ajnanam being there is known, jnanam being there is known. When there is jnanam in terms of I am, in terms of the world is, naan irikkiren, ulagam irikkirathu, I am, the world is, when this jnanam is there, that jnanam is known. When this jnanam is not there, ajnanam is also known. So that which knows the jnanam and ajnanam, the knower of knowledge and ignorance, is the is of the nature of knowing, that is absolute knowledge. This is jnana swarupaha. And we need not know, we cannot know this jnana swarupa atma. And what should we see? I the self am the knower. I know I am. I know the world is. I also know that I did not know the world was, I was in sleep. Which means the knower of knowledge and ignorance. I am the knower of knowledge and ignorance. And I the knower am consciousness. I am the knower, and you have to resolve the I in knower as I am the knower. ID self am the knower, and ID knower am the reality, ID knower am Atma, the consciousness, ID knower am the reality of the nature of knowing. Aham bodhaswarupakam swarupakaha, aham bodhaswarupaha, this seeing, the knower being consciousness, dwelling upon, you see, first of all, understanding there is no knower other than consciousness, there is no knower other than Atma, and thereby seeing one's own self being the knower, thereby see, taking ownership of consciousness as one's own self, one's own swarupam, and repeatedly dwelling upon this fact that I, the knower, am the consciousness. I, the knower, am the consciousness implied by the term Atma. I, the knower, am the consciousness implied by the term Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am consciousness. I am this repeatedly dwelling upon the fact of the knower, I being the consciousness, is Nididhyasanam. Okay. That is what we understand in the therefore, I see, you see the physical body, we have to remember here, the physical body can have a spatial limitation, a spatial location, to sitting in this room or that room, lounge or hall or on the road. Where is the physical body? Location is locatable. Physical form is locatable. Now we locate it here, there, etc. Spatially located. And time is also, when is it? It was there, you know, before, few years ago, now it is not there. We can say physically time was located. Locatable is the physical body, whereas I, where can we locate I? What is the locus of the I? I, the locus of the I, all the time we are using I, we say this. This I, the first person singular pronoun, which is expression of the manifestation of knowledge, obtaining in the form of thought, for which the locus is pure consciousness. Just as for the wave form, for the form, name and function called a wave, the locus is water. For the locus, for I is located only in, there's no physical location for I. Okay, there's no physical, spatial location for I. For I, the locus is consciousness. And it is in this I, the consciousness, space is located, time is located, the whole world is located, all the forms, names and functions which exist in the realm of time and space, the entire world is located, but I is the locus in which everything is located, and the I, the location of the I is nothing but consciousness. Okay? This is the now imagine it's what a big difference. Now we always, I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you sitting in this place. Relatively true. Relatively right, but absolutely, you know, you are not located. You are the very location in which everything is located. Amazing, isn't it? Okay. Bodhepyanubhavo yasya. Bodhepyanubhavo yasya nakathanchana jayate nakatham bodhaye chastram loshtam narasamakritim. बोधेऽप्यनुभवो यस्य न कथञ्चन जायते तं कथं बोधयेच्छास्त्रम् लोष्टं नरसमाकृतिम् बोधेऽप्यनुभवो यस्य न कथञ्चन जायते तं कथं बोधयेच्छास्त्रम् लोष्टं नरसमाकृतिम् So, this verse is actually not Vidyaranya Swami's original verse. Even though this text Panchadashi is Vidyaranya Swami's original work, this particular verse which comes as part of Vidyaranya Swami's Panchadashi is not his original verse. It is a verse borrowed from Sureshwaracharya's text. You know. See, this is a text called Naishkarmya Siddhihi. Naishkarmya Siddhihi is a very beautiful prose text, chaste prose text, Vedantic text. And Naishkarmya Siddhi, Swamiji used to rejoice when he used to do text. This Naishkarmya Siddhihi, in this text, in the third chapter, third section, there is a 38th. Actually, it says Naishkarmya Siddhihi is a prose, but this verse comes. This is actually Sureshwaracharya's work is Naishkarmya Siddhihi, and there we find this verse. And here in this context, Vidyaranya Swami has literally taken the whole verse from there and put it here as the next verse, as the 19th verse. So, what it is said here? See, the whole effort on the part of Vidyaranya Swami is to make us understand the fact that we need not, should not wait for the experiencing Atma. When people who are not, when you are not exposed to the traditional teaching and go for these meditation classes and all that, and they want to experience Atma, they also talk about a spiritual experience. I tell you, anybody comes and tells you of any experience, you say, very nice, you had experience, you have it. Because no experience is going to change our parabra. Okay? Experience is experience. So we should not be carried away by such experience things. That is why Vidyaranya Swami really pays attention to this problem. But all the people, even who are given to the traditional teaching Advaita Vedanta, when they happen to analyze these pancha koshas and all, until when it's very easy to negate, I am not the body, body is object of knowledge, I am the knower. I am the knower, I am distinct from the known body. It is easy to negate body as anatma, the known. So knower is distinct from the known. The knower is atma, I am the knower. If I am not the body, etc. Very easy. Either the Dridhashivaka Prakriya or Avastatare Prakriya or Panchakosha Prakriya, any Prakriya, people negate body, sense organs, pranas, organs of actions, and they come to thoughts. They negate the manaha, they negate the buddhi, they negate the chittam, they negate everything, even avidya, everything. Afterwards, the panchakosha prakriya, even after negating anandamaya kosha, okay, now I want to experience the atma. I can experience atma after negating panchakoshas. So that is the biggest problem even with the Vedanta students. Therefore, Vidyaranya Swami wants to make it clear, and he really dins this point here. What does he say here in this context? He says, it is impossible, never ever wait for the experience of the Atma. See the one, see that because of the presence of which experience is possible, And therefore, one who has the status of being the experiencer, that very experiencer is reality, formless reality. The experiencer is essentially of the nature of being conscious. Therefore, experiencer is the consciousness, knowledge, which is the Atma and which is yourself. So you, the experiencer, are the Atma. So don't ever wait for the experience of the Atma. So that is what he wants to say in this verse again. Bodhe api anubhavaha yasya na kathanchana jayate. See, bodhe api. In this verse, please be careful. The word bodhaha is a masculine gender noun which means knowledge. So in this context, knowledge does not mean the act knowing. Here bodhaha implies the pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Bodhaha here does not mean the act of knowing or the knowledge as a vrittihi. Here bodhaha means pure consciousness, pure knowledge. The reality is implied by the term bodhaha here. Bodhe api means what? In spite of the reality being there, in term, being there as the very knowledge, as the very consciousness, in spite of the reality being there as the very knowledge, as a pure consciousness, because of which any experience is possible. Bodhe api anubhavaha. Anubhavaha means what? Experience. Experience of the external world of objects. Experience of thoughts. Experience of emotions. Experience of cognitions. Experience of presence of knowledge. Experience of absence of world. Experience of the experience of presence and absence of vrittis. Experience of the external world. Experience of pairs of opposites. Experience of time and space and everything in the world. Experience here with what now? Can say knowledge of the world. So knowledge of the world, experience of the world is possible because of the presence of the pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Bodhe api anubhavaha. Bodhe api anubhavaha means what? It is in the presence of the consciousness. It is in the presence of the pure knowledge, in the presence of the reality which is of the nature of knowing, experience of the world is possible. Without which experience is not possible, that is also implied. And yasya anubhavaha, yasya na kathanchana jayate. And here, yasya anubhavaha na kathanchana jayate. Therefore, this consciousness in whose presence the experience of everything else is possible, and the experience of that consciousness never happens. Na kathanchana jayate. Yasya anubhavaha na jayate. The experience of that reality obtaining in the form of consciousness never happens. Kathanchana, na kathanchana jayate, never happens. Never happens means what? What never happens? Experience never happens. Experience of what? Experience of that reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, because of the presence of which experience of the world is possible, and the experience of the Atma, the consciousness, doesn't happen at all. Okay? So what he wants to say in the first line, experience or knowledge of knowledge, experience of knowledge, experience of consciousness, experience of consciousness in which the all experience of the world happens does not happen at all. Is it clear? Okay. Tam katham bodhaye chastram. No? Chastram's next one he says, suppose if the person, when he is exposed to the teaching and he is given to study all the teaching, the scripture, the Shastram repeatedly says, the knower is Atma, knower is reality. Knower is the reality, and the realities are the nature of knowledge, and you are the knowledge, and you are Atma, you are Atma. See, you are Atma. Atma is the word implying the reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, obtaining in him of pure knowledge. Therefore, when the Shastram helps you negate everything and leaves you, the known is Anatma, the knower is Atma, and you are the Atma, means, and you have to claim that the knower consciousness I am. One has to claim that I, the knower, I am the Atma. You claim that reality which is already there in the pure knowledge as yourself, and you don't need to wait for objectifying the Atma. The problem is, we always want to objectify. You objectify everything and negate what is objectified as Anatma, and you claim the knower, the one because of the presence of whom, presence of which objectifying is possible, claim that reality, the knower, as yourself. So don't wait for experience. What proof you want? Suppose your person, even after being exposed to the teaching, he still wants to experience the Atma. And here, how can Shastram teach him? He says, katham tam Shastram bodhayet. Tam, such a person who wants to experience Atma, him, okay, Shastram katham bodhayet. How can Shastram teach such a person? How can Shastram help? Katham Shastram bodhayet. How can Shastram help him understand? Shastram avanukku eppadi puriya veikkum avanai. Katham tam Shastram bodhayet. How can Shastram help him understand the one who wants to experience Atma? Shastram need not prove the existence of the Atma. Shastram helps him understand that because of the presence of which experience is possible, the very experience of the world is the proof for the experiencer being there, and the experiencer is Atma, and one has to claim that experiencer Atma as one's own self without waiting for experiencing the Atma. Is it clear? Therefore, even after listening so much, still a person, you know, the lot of people, they very disinterested. That is why one must be prepared for this jnanam. People always, it's all intellectual knowledge. There's no practical experience. Swamiji always all blabbering. He used to say this, practical experience. He never liked this very sentence, practical experience, intellectual knowledge. Of course, knowledge is intellectual. There's no practical experience. We all theoretical knowledge. We need to practice. We had practical. What is practical? I want experience. There's no experience. I tell you, if you want, she look at this, what Vidyarana Swami says, Sureshwara Acharya says, Vidyarana Swami, to make his writing more effective, he puts directly Sureshwara Acharya's own verse. Tam katham shastram bodha yet. Avana eppida mandapula yetrathu. No, tam shastram katham bodha yet. How can shastram help such a person to understand the atma? No, you have to claim atma as yourself because you are the knower and knower is atma. Therefore, you have to claim atma as yourself. Your real nature. Therefore, he says, Loshtam Narasamakritim. You know, he says, Loshtam means, Loshtam, you know, the hard stone. Stone like clay. Hard, rough, hard stone like clay. What loshtam? You know, sometimes if it is easily breakable clay, it's unbreakable hard stone like clay, mara manda. We say that is hard stone like a loshtam. This person who's still after being exposed to teaching, the knower is atma, knower is atma, knower is atma, knower, atma is distinct from the known, and having arrived at the known, until anandamaya kosha, you are negating the known. After anandamaya kosha, nothing can be negated. And what is there non-negatable is the knower. The knower is, there's no knower. Knower is only status attributed to the atma. The knower is the abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest reality, which is implied with the atma, which is obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. You have to arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Once you arrive at it, claim that formless reality, the consciousness, obtaining available as a surup of the knower, as the Atma, as your own self. You know, that is the Atma. Suppose even after that, if you don't claim Atma, an over consciousness as the Atma, as yourself, and still you want to wait, then Shastram cannot help such a person. Katham Shastram tam bodhayet. And not only that, that person is like a loshtam. He is like a small ball of clay, a hard stone like clay, loshtam, clay, narasama akritim, narasama akritihi, narasama akritihi. It's like a clay available in the form of a man. Akriti, he means appearance. The clay, that person should be taken as what? The clay appearing in the form of a human being. Narasama akritim loshtam. So narasama akritim loshtam tam. Katam Shastram Bodhayet. How can teach Shastram such a person who is like clay in the form of human form, clay in human form. How can Shastram teach such a person who is nothing but clay in human form? So by saying all this, at least we must be convinced that we should not wait for experiencing Atma. So we should not wait for experiencing Atma means we should never give importance for any experience. Any experience, every experience is time bound in nature, which comes and goes. We are not interested in experience. We are interested in the source of experience, the truth, because of the presence of which experience is possible. The experiences come and go, and the experiencer, the one because whose presence, all the experiences, one who witnesses the experiences, arriving departing experiences, that witness consciousness is the Atma, and which is eternally there. That is why now you can understand Samadhi is also experience. So, Samadhi is also experience. People don't like it. Yoga people don't like it. People, see, yoga is beautiful. All Ashtanga yoga disciplines are very nice. And those Ashtanga yoga, eightfold limbs must be used to prepare the mind for finally claiming the Atma as oneself. Not to get stuck and then, no, we are not interested in Samadhi experience. Swamiji used to tell literally like this. I remember him very well saying, Samadhi is nothing like, it's like a sleep. Effortlessly you fall asleep. Samadhi, you make efforts to be asleep. Because it's experience. Experience is state of mind. We don't belittle Samadhi here, but we don't need to give too much of importance for Samadhi. There's no moksha in Samadhi. You have to come out. Experience is subject to change. It will go. Again, you will be like same. Next day, you'll be the same person. So, our solution for a problem of samsara is in claiming this Atma, assimilating this fact that I am the Atma, thereby seeing that I am ever free, because the whole problem is what centered on I. That is why the common human fundamental problem is what? Everything is centered on I, and we have to understand that I am free. Therefore, Atma Anubhavaha, Brahma Anubhavaha is actually what? Is the self-experience. And it is this experience in which I always experience myself without objectifying the self. Atmanubhavaha is a self-experience in which experience I experience myself without objectifying. Because there's never a time Atmanubhavaha is not there. Always there is Atmanubhavaha. And this Atmanubhavaha, Brahmanubhavaha is not anubhava, not something, some anubhava of other objects. Atmanubhava is a permanent one, never comes and goes. Whereas jagat anubhava, experience of everything other than the world, other than the atma, is momentary, transient, which comes and goes. It's exactly like here. When you see the light is there, sunlight is there. In the presence of the light, before we come, we sit, we get up, we walk. So we see the movements of people and movements of cars, etc. We see all the movements where? In the motionless light. Things come and go, but the light is there. But when you're experiencing the moving cars, moving people, the moving colors are in the motionless light, and you're experiencing the light, you're experiencing the movement of objects which come and go. Similarly, in Atma, in the light of consciousness, which is yourself, you see the whole world which comes and goes. The universe becomes manifest, universe becomes unmanifest, universe becomes manifest, universe becomes unmanifest. The becoming manifest and manifest, the world comes and goes continuously in the consciousness which doesn't come and go. Therefore, in Atmanubhavaha, in Brahmanubhavaha, in Vastu Anubhavaha, which is always there, and they, you never miss yourself. Atma Anubhavaha is always there, but without objectifying. What is objectified? What comes and goes is objectified. What is there without coming and going is not objectifiable, not objectified. That is yourself. There's Atmanubhavaha, which is always there without coming and going. Jagat Anubhavaha, which is objectified, which comes and goes. So the experience of the world comes and goes, whereas self-experience doesn't come and go. For self-experience, we say swarupam. World experience is experience, and world experience is objectifiable. Self-experience is not objectification. It's not objectifiable. So without objectifying, there is self-experience. And objectifying, there is world experience. Therefore, anatma prapancha anubhavaha takes place in time. Only in given time, anatma prapancha anubhavaha is there, takes place in a time, in a given time. Do you experience the anatma prapancha 24 hours a day? No. For a few hours you fall asleep. There's knowledge is not manifest, the world disappears. Anatma prapancha anubhavaha is not there. Then you call it a deep sleep state. Again there's anatma prapancha anubhavaha. It's a waking state. Waking state, anatma prapancha anubhavaha is there. And deep sleep state, anatma prapancha anubhavaha is not there. But anubhavaha is not there. That is, that anubhava is always there, isn't it? The experience of the world, experience of the absence of experience of the world is always there. And that experiencer is, we say what? Ever experienced. Presence of the experiencer is ever experienced. Presence of the experienced is only in experienced in time. Is it clear now? Okay. See, Atmanubhava does not take place in time, whereas Anatma Prapancha Anubhava takes place in time. Because time itself is object of experience, which the experience of which takes place in time. Experience of time takes place in time. Experience of time takes place in time. Experience of space takes place in time. Experience of the forms, names and functions which exist in the realm of time and space takes place in time. Isn't it? Whereas the experience of that, because of the presence of which experience is possible, that experience does not take place in time. Experience of Atma does not take place in time. Isn't it? There's ever experience of the experiencer is always there. That's what is said here. This much we need to remember, and we'll go to the next verse. Jihvame stinavetyuktihi. Jihvame stinavetyuktihi. Lajjaye kevalam yatha. Jihvame stinavetyuktihi. Lajjayai kevalam yatha. Na buddhyate maya bodho. Bodhau ya iti tadrishi. Na buddhyate maya bodho. Bodhau ya iti tadrishi. Jihvame stinavetyuktihi. Lajjayai kevalam yatha. Na buddhyate maya bodho. Bodhau ya iti tadrishi. Now Vidyarana Swami continues to say here in this verse the same fact he wants to confirm, that we need not doubt the existence of the reality implied by the term Atma, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge as the very swarupam of I, the knower. So he says, suppose bodhaha maya na buddhyate. Bodhaha maya na buddhyate. Yesterday only taught in the class, active voice, passive voice, little bit. Buddhyate is known, is understood. Na buddhyate is not known, is not understood. By whom? By me, maya, maya. Na buddhyate. What is not understood by me? What is not known by me? Here, bodhaha. Bodhaha na buddhyate. Bodhaha here means the reality which is of the nature of knowing. Arimahiya parambarul. Reality, absolute reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is of the nature of consciousness, obtaining, you can say, the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, is what bodhaha here. So the reality, the consciousness, is not understood by me, is not known by me. Iti suppose iti thus a person says, imagine iti uktihi. If there is a statement of a person, if he says what I, the consciousness is not understood by me, which means I do not know the consciousness. I do not know the knowledge. I do not understand consciousness. See, he is given the passive, sentence is in passive voice. Consciousness is not understood by me. Consciousness is not known by me. You make it an active voice sentence. I do not understand, I do not know the reality, the pure knowledge, the pure consciousness. Okay? Iti uktihi, if a person says this, this is the statement of a person. No? And this statement is a contradiction. It is a contradiction. Why? He gives an example. Tadrushi means what? It is similar to. Tadrushi means it is like that. What? Jihva me asti nava. Jihva me asti nava iti uktihi. See, jihva means what? Tongue. Me means mama. Mama jihva asti va nava. Somebody asks a question. Okay. Do I have a tongue or not? If a person asks, may mama. May is what? May means mama. Dakarantaha, Trishulingeshu samanaha, asmat shabdaha, tasya, shashti vibhaktau, eka vachane, may iti rupam, mama iti rupam. Asmat shabda, you must remember now. No? So, me means mama. Mama jihva asti va na va. Enakku naakku irikkirada illaya. Do I have a tongue or not? If somebody makes a statement like this, the very expression is possible. The very expression is the proof what? You have a tongue. Do I have a tongue or not is the question. The very expression is the what now? Is the proof that you have a tongue. If you did not have a tongue, you would not have been able to speak. You would not have been able to ask the question, do I have a tongue or not? Uktihi means this statements. This question, in terms of do I have a tongue or not, this question itself is the, when a person asks this question, he is able to ask this question, is able to express this statement question because he has a tongue. The tongue, if he did not have a tongue, he wouldn't have been able to speak this out, isn't it? Therefore, he says, Vidyanand Swami says here, jihva me asti na va. Jihva me asti va na va. Iti uktihi. Uktihi means a statement. But here not a statement, the very question. If somebody is asking, okay, do I have a tongue or not? know, and then Jesus asks, please prove that I have a tongue. Please prove that I have a tongue and please make me understand that I have a tongue. Do I have a tongue or not? If he asks this question, what he says, what he says here? Lajjayai kevalam lajjayai. You know? Kevalam lajjayai. Lajja means what? It's a shame. So I want a proper means of knowledge. I want some evidence, proof that I have a tongue. I want the proof, I want an evidence to know that I have a tongue. Okay. He says that. And he says, Kevalam Lajjaye. It is a matter of shame. It is purely a matter of shame. Know why? The very expression you're able to ask that, do I have a tongue? Itself is the proof that you have a tongue. Similarly, if somebody says, I do not understand, I do not know consciousness. A consciousness is not experienced by me. Conscious, I do not experience, I do not know, I do not understand consciousness. That if a person says, and suppose, therefore, I want another evidence. I want an evidence. I want proof that there is existence of consciousness. I want an evidence. I want a proof that there is consciousness. I want to prove evidence for the existence of consciousness. Why? I do not understand, I do not know consciousness. Bodha mayana buddhyate iti. Consciousness is not experienced by me, so I want proof for for the existence of the consciousness. Because we always accept the existence only if something is available for experience. Okay? Consciousness is not available for experience. Consciousness is not an object of experience. We do not experience consciousness. Therefore, what do we say? I do not know consciousness. I do not understand consciousness. I do not experience consciousness. I want evidence. I want proof for the existence of consciousness. And such a person's statement is, you know, is actually, statement is what? Really a matter of shame. It expression, Lajjayai kevalam. You know why? It's exactly like saying, it's like asking the question, do I have a tongue or not? I want proof for the existence of my tongue. The very speaking is the proof that you have a tongue. Similarly, the way I want to experience, isn't it? The experience itself is the proof that you are consciousness. Why? Because you can never know, never experience, never understand consciousness. You understand consciousness means what? You stumble upon consciousness. You claim consciousness as your very swarupam, your very nature. You don't need the proof for evidence for the existence of consciousness. Consciousness is the proof, evidence, because of the press for everything. Everything is evident to you, and you are self-evident. Yasmin nasti loke, yasmin nasti loke, bodhastattadupekshane. Yasmin nasti loke, bodhastattadupekshane. Yasmin nasti loke bodhastattadupekshane. Yad bodhamatram tad brahmeti evam dhir brahma nischayah. It's a beautiful verse again. Here Vidyarana Swami is going to say how to be convinced that aham brahma asmi. Yasmin nasti loke bodhastattadupekshane. Yasmin nasti loke bodhastattadupekshane. Yad bodhamatram tad. Yad bodhamatram tad brahmetyevam dhir brahma nischayah. Yad bodhamatram tad brahma. Yad bodhamatram tad brahma ityevam dhir brahma nischayah. Yad bodhamatram tad brahma ityevam dhir brahma nischayah. Okay. If consciousness cannot be experienced and consciousness has to be claimed as the very source of experience, as the very truth of one's own self, the question may come here, how is it possible for one to recognize, to arrive at, to stumble upon, to appreciate the pure knowledge, the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness? How is it possible for one to appreciate, to understand, to take ownership of the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness? Nun unarvaga irikkindra parambarulai naan endru eduthukkoluvathu eppadi? Suppose the question comes. So, what is the method? What is the method through which I can arrive at the reality obtaining in the form of consciousness. For which Vidyarajana Swami gives the answer here in this verse. That is, when we have experience, in already we have seen this, Pratibodha Viditam Matam. In Keno Upanishad it is said, so when we have experience or cognition or knowledge, in every experience of any object, in experience of every object, anything, definitely there are two factors involved. An experience is nothing but a mixture of two factors, two components. Of those two aspects which together constitute experience, one of the aspects of the experience is subject to variable, subject to variation. Because it is variable, subject to change. Whereas the other aspect of the experience is invariable. So of the two, one is variable. So the two aspects involved in every experience, and one aspect of the experience is variable, other aspect of the experience is another component of the is invariable. Variable, invariable, two aspects together constitute an experience. So here, if I say I have an experience of the tree, experience of the wall, experience of the car, I have an experience of window, experience of colorful flowers because spring for us. So experience of human beings, experience of animals, experience of dogs, that experience of so many things. So, in every experience, like experience of road, car, etc., in all of them, there are aspects which are subject to variable aspects. And here, the experience of all these variable aspects, like what? Fan, wall, road, car, table, chair, man, dog, etc. Anything. In experience, in all these experiences, they're all variable aspects. And experience of all these things, a living being, a non-living thing, etc. Okay, experience of dog and human beings, experience of living beings, and experience of non-living things like car, road, etc., bus, etc. So the experience of all these living and non-living things, mobile and immobile beings, is nothing but first we can say the experience of the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, experience of the reality, experience of knowledge, experience of consciousness, inseparable from all these objects. So experience of any object, living or non-living, mobile or immobile, you know, subtle or gross, experience of any object is nothing but experience of consciousness, inseparable from these, all these objects. So experience of consciousness associated with all these forms, names and functions. When you reach a chair or a table or a road or a car, every word, every object is nothing but a form associated with the name serving a given purpose. Therefore, it's nothing but experience of every object is nothing but consciousness associated with all these forms, names and functions in terms of objects. Therefore, in all the experiences of all these objects, or in the experience of all these objects, if intellectually, cognitively, we remove the object aspect, if we remove the variable aspect, the variable aspect is the object aspect. If we remove the variable aspect, then, like what? In experiencing, in the experience of the road, remove the road. In experience of the wall, remove the wall. Experience of the car, remove the car. In experience of the man, remove the man, physical form. Even the dog, remove the dog. In all these experiences, if we remove the variable aspects are removed cognitively, not physically. Cognitively, intellectually, if we delete, remove these variable aspects, the objects, and what is invariable, the invariable aspect, is the consciousness. The invariable aspect is consciousness. Like, in an example again, if all, there's so many opaque things which shine, and the opaque things are things, in experience of every, in experience of the opaque objects, every experience of any opaque object, two aspects are involved. One is light aspect, another is opaque object aspect. If we remove the opaque objects or variables, varied, and remove all the opaque objects intellectually, and what is there is invariable is the light aspect. It is example. Both are objects here. But if we take here, light is also object, opaque also objects. Only example I'm giving. But if we take experience as a waking state experience, dream experience, deep sleep state experience, on the waking, we have experience of elements, elementals, time, space, and all the living and non-living, mobile, immobile beings, experience of pairs of opposites. In experience of everything, there are two aspects involved. One is invariable aspect and the variable aspect. And the variable aspects are all nothing but objects. And the variables, each variable is a is an object obtaining in a given form, associated with a given function, thereby indicated by a given word. An object is something obtaining in a given form, indicated by a given word, serving a given purpose. So, Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagatvam Shankara says, what, how much you must have thought to say very easily like that. Isn't it? An object is nothing but something obtaining in a given form, serving a given purpose, or associated with a given function, indicated by a given word. Nama Rupa Karma. And these objects are variables. And intellectually remove the variables, the forms are removed cognitively. Along with the forms, names are removed cognitively. The functions are all associated with the forms also removed cognitively. And what remains invariably present, what is that which is invariably present in all the variable objects, variable thoughts, is what? Consciousness. We say not outside means what does mean, what does it mean here? So existence of the external world presupposes the existence of corresponding cognitions. And in the cognition, experience or cognition involves two aspects. The invariable aspect, variable aspect. If we remove the variable aspects intellectually, what is invariably present in all the variable aspects, the variable thoughts, is nothing but consciousness. So, the forms and the names and the purposes they serve, they all come and go. The forms come and go, along with the forms, the words come and go, and the purpose or the functions, the purposes they serve also along with the forms come and go. What doesn't come and does not go, what is always is the pure, is this consciousness, is the reality. The consciousness. The consciousness is always there. Being aware of the arrival and the departure of the variable aspects. The arrival and departure of the forms, names and functions. The arrival and departure of objects in terms of forms, names and functions. Consciousness, actually, just by its presence, adds the name to the objects, name to the forms and their functions which come and go. So consciousness, by its mere presence, adds names to these different forms serving different purposes in terms of objects. So addition of names to the objects which come and go is because of the presence of consciousness. Therefore it is said here, Yasmin, 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 ति लोके बोधः यस्मिन् यस्मिन् अस्ति लोके बोधः. What does it mean? लोके बोधः अस्ति. See, लोकः means the world of experience. The world of objects of experience is called लोकः. लोक्यते इति लोकः. That which is experienced, that which is seen, known, perceived, experienced, objectified is लोकः. அறியப்படுவது லோகம். So லோகே in this லோகம் யஸ்மின் யஸ்மின். So லோகே போதஹ அஸ்தி. So in every object of experience, in the experience of every object, there is knowledge. There is consciousness associated with every experienced object. In every experience of every experienced object, there is consciousness associated with that object. Object means a form indicated by a given name, serving a given purpose. So, loke bodha asti. In every experience of any object, there is knowledge, there is consciousness associated with that. So, yasminna yasminna loke. So, in whichever, yasmin yasmin means in whichever experience of whichever form, whichever object, there is bodaha. So, yasmin yasmin loke bodaha asti means what? In whichever experience of whichever object, there is consciousness, there is knowledge. That's the meaning of that sentence. Then, tad upekshane. Upekshana means negation. Upa ikshanam. Ikshanam means seeing. Upa ikshanam. Upekshana means negation. Negating. So, upekshane means what? When negated. What negate? Tat upekshane. When negated. What negated? Tat tad means those objects, in experience, those objects in terms of forms, names and functions, those objects which are variables, the variable forms, the variable names and the functions, the variable objects, the experienced variable forms, names and functions, various variable objects, when those objects are negated, which objects? The objects which come and go, the variable objects which are subject, which arrive and depart, the variable objects which arrive and depart. Upekshane, tattad upekshane means in negating those variable objects which arrive and depart, then what is there? Yat bodha matram. Matram means Tamil matram. What is there invariably? What remains invariably? Even when the objects are not there, objects come in the experience of objects. The objects go in the absence of objects. In the presence, there's experience of the presence of the forms, names and functions. And when they go, there's experience of absence of forms, names and functions. And what is invariably present in the variable presence and the absence of forms, objects, what is invariably present in the variable arriving, departing, the presence and absence of objects, is the consciousness. Because the absence of objects, the objects come, arrive, objects go. The objects come, the presence of forms, names and functions is experienced. The objects go, the absence of forms, names and functions in terms of mental blankness is also experienced. Therefore, the consciousness is always there. Without arriving, without departing, consciousness is invariably present without arriving and departing. When all the objects of experience arrive and depart, the variable objects of experience arrive and depart, what is invariably present is the non-arriving, non-departing consciousness. It is this invariably present, ever-present consciousness alone is implied by the term Atma or Brahma because of its nature of limitlessness, because of its nature of all-pervasiveness. Therefore, it is very important to remember the fact. It is a fact that all the experiences are nothing but the combination of mixture of two aspects. Experience is nothing but, any experience is nothing but mixture of two aspects, two components in terms of the form, name and function, an object, and the consciousness. The object obtaining in a given form, indicated by a given word, serving a given purpose, or associated with a given function, comes and goes. If we remove that object cognitively, intellectually, It is purely for our understanding. If we remove this object intellectually, cognitively, then what remains is consciousness, implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, tad Brahma means what? It is the absolute reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, implied by the term Brahma, which is distinct from the form, which is distinct from the name, which is distinct from the function, and which is nothing to do, which is nothing to do with the form. It is distinct. Distinct from the object, but not distant, but distinct. Therefore, consciousness is not located in anywhere. In fact, all the objects which arrive and depart in experience, which are variable, are in present in the invariably present consciousness. Therefore, we can never experience the pure reality as the pure knowledge, as pure consciousness, without being associated with form, name and function. But when we experience anything, we're actually experiencing consciousness associated with an object which is a given form, name and function. If we separate the variable aspect in an experience, the object, then we can understand the existence of consciousness, presence of the reality. So we can never experience pure consciousness, but we always experience consciousness associated with the form, name and function called object. And cognitively, we can delete the object and we can understand what is this consciousness. And this is manifest consciousness. The consciousness associated with the form, name and function is what? Manifest consciousness. And the manifest consciousness is nothing but consciousness associated with the form, name and function, the object. If we cognitively delete those form, name and function, the object, we can understand what is this consciousness. And we have to say that I am the consciousness. So, what is said in the verse, if we see the verse, yad bodhamatram tad brahma. Bodhamatram means what? So, when you remove the variable object, arriving, departing aspect called object, then invariably present consciousness is Brahma. Bodhamatram yat, that which obtained no pure, the consciousness distinguished from the object is what? Brahma. Iti evam dhihi. Evam, the understanding of the consciousness distinguished, differentiated, separated cognitively from the object called form, name and function is what we say is consciousness, Brahma. This understanding is called Evam Dhihi Brahma Nischayaha. This is how we understand Brahman. This is how we understand the knowledge. If I have to ask you to understand the light, you can never understand the pure light. The reflected light, you understand light reflecting in the form of all the opaque things. You cognitively remove the opaque things and understand the light. Similarly here, that's why we always say every experience is Brahma. Now tell me, which experience is not Brahma? When do you miss Atma? When do you miss consciousness? When are you not there? In deep sleep state you are, which is an experience. In waking is a state of experience you are, dream you are. The experiences, the objects of experience, we take the whole as one experience. In every experience there are two aspects. Remove the arriving, departing aspect. And what is non-arriving, non-departing, what is invariably present in the variable state of experience is the consciousness, the knowledge, which is Atma. This is how you have to arrive at the consciousness. Iti evam dihi. This dihi means understanding. This understanding of consciousness, cognitively distinguished from the variable as the invariable one, is what? Brahma nischayaha. This is how you have the definite understanding of the reality obtaining in the form of consciousness implied by the term Brahma. Ippadithaan Brahma, idhaan Brahma endru urudhippaduthi kolludal. Iti Brahma nischayaha. It's called a definite, being definite. Becoming, being definite about Brahman being consciousness. Did you like this method? You liked it, you didn't like it. If you don't like, and then some will call us what? Kashtam, loshtam. He'll call us clay in human form. So, okay. Yad bodhamatram tad brahma iti evam dhihi brahma nischayaha. Brahma nischayaha means what? It's called Atma Jnanam. It's called Brahma Jnanam. Brahma Dhihi means understanding of Brahman. This is how we understand Brahman. So in all the variable forms, names and functions called objects, Brahman is pervading everything in and through. And this understanding of Brahman is definite knowledge of Brahman. Panchakosha parityage साक्षी बोधावशेषतः पंचकोश परित्यागे साक्षी बोधावशेषतः स्वस्वरूपं स एव स्यात् शून्यत्वं तस्य दुर्घटम् स्वस्वरूपं स एव स्यात् शून्यत्वं तस्य दुर्घटम् पञ्चकोशपरित्यागे साक्षिबोधावशेषतः स्वस्वरूपं स एव स्यात् शून्यत्वं तस्य दुर्घटम् सो पञ्चकोश परित्यागे सि पञ्चकोश त्यागः परित्यागः The word Tyagaha literally means renunciation, renouncing, giving up. So, Panchakoshe Parityaga means totally giving up. What do we give up here? No. We give up the identity is given up. Panchakosha Parityagaha means Panchakosheshu Aham Buddhehe Parityagaha. What is I sense associated with the panchakoshas? Association is given up. Association of I sense with the panchakoshas is given up. When the I sense in the panchakoshas is removed, shifted cognitively, which means when the identity with each and every kosha is given up, is dropped. How do we drop the, how is this cognitively, how I sense is shifted from the physical body, from each personality? I sense, aham buddhihi, I sense, is cognitively shifted from each and every layer of personality, one after the other, through the proper analysis. So, pancha kosha vivekena pancha kosha parityagaha. Okay. Through proper analysis of five layers of personality, when the I sense is cognitively shifted from the layers of personality, therefore identity with the five layers of personality is dropped, given up, then why it is given up? That none of the layers of personality is the real nature of I. Therefore, identity is dropped. I sense is shifted. So, panchakosha parityagaha. So this, how is it possible for us to, through the analysis, how the identity with the layers of personality is dropped, how I sense is shifted from all of them cognitively, because of the understanding of the fact that each and every layer of personality is used as an abode of enjoyment, as instruments of enjoyment, they're all used. by me. Therefore, I am the user of them. Therefore, they are not my intrinsic nature. They are not my real essential nature. So each and every layer of personality is only a medium for what? It's a medium of interaction. Physical body, sense powers, powers of organs of actions, antahkaranam, they're all interactive medium, instruments of interaction with the world. The medium of interaction with the world. When there's a need to interact with the world, they are available to interact with the world. When there is no need to interact with the world, they are just left aside. That is why we have these three states of experience. As Jagrat Avastha, waking state, Swapna Avastha, dream state, and the Sushupti Avastha, deep sleep state. In Jagrat Avastha, the body, mind, sense complex are used to interact with the world. In Swapna Avastha, the subtle body, mind, sense complex, optimum of thoughts are used to interact with the dream world. Whereas in deep sleep state, all the instruments of interaction in terms of body, mind, sense complex are all just left aside. I mean, they dropped. Therefore, only for the purpose of the enjoyment of the world, experience of the world, interaction with the world, is a possibility of claiming those body, mind, sense complex as part of oneself. I'm repeating, only for the purpose of interaction with the world, body, mind, sense complex can be claimed to be part of oneself. But actually, from the standpoint of Atma, they cannot be claimed as one's real self. Spiritually, they cannot be claimed as oneself. Therefore, once these five layers of personality through the analysis are negated and what cannot be negated, what is there non-negatably, has to be claimed as one's own real nature, one's own self, the I. And this I, the Atma, is never the object of experience. Never does it become the known, never does it become the knowable. The Atma is not even the knower, but Atma is to be recognized as the Swarupam of the knower. The knower is the Atma. Always Atma is available for recognition as the knower in the form of knower only. Therefore, it is said here, Panchakosha Parityage, what cannot be negated is what, when the layers of personality are negated as non-self, when the essence is shifted from those anatma aspects, layers of personality, then Sakshi Bodha Avaseshataha, what cannot be negated, what remains non-negatably, avaseshataha means non-negatably what remains is that which that obtaining in the form of the witness, witness consciousness is so swarupam. What is there non-negatively in the form of witness consciousness is one's own real essential nature. So, swarupam. So, sahayeva syat so swarupam. What is non-negatable is the witness consciousness. That witness consciousness alone is to be claimed as one's own real nature, one's own self. So, Sakshi Bodha Avaseshataha Sahayeva Susvarupam Syat. That non-negatable witness consciousness alone, what remains non-negatively alone should be claimed as one's own real nature, one's own swarupam, as one's own self. So what is non-negatable is the real nature, intrinsic nature. And what can be negated is incidental form. Negatable layers of personality are incidental ones. What cannot be negated is the intrinsic nature. So we have to distinguish the intrinsic real nature from the incidental form, name and function in the form of body, mind, sense complex, negated as the layers of personality. So what is unchangeable is intrinsic. And here, tasya shunyatvam durghatam. And after negation of all the objects of experience, after negation of negating all the layers of personality, there's nothing. Everything is available for experience. When nothing is available for experience, it is possible for us to conclude that there is nothingness, there is nothingness, there is nothing, there is shunyam. But here, what is that which experiences the nothingness is not nothingness. That which experiences, that which knows the nothingness is not the nothingness. This is where the big problem comes. Nothingness is nothing but fullness, Atma. But Atma, the fullness, not nothingness. The knower of nothingness is not the nothingness, not Shunyam. Because when nothing is experienced, when everything is negated, and when we are not able to experience anything, it is possible for us to make a conclusion that is only nothingness. Therefore, and the one who experiences the nothingness, one who objectifies the nothingness, is non-objectifiable, non-knowable, experiencer, knower, consciousness, which is the Atma, which is of the nature of fullness. Therefore, we had to be very careful. We should not mistake the Shunyam. One boy who was coming to my class before, nice boy. The whole class really supported him. One day he came to me. He's very nice. Even Raja General helped him. And he came, Swamiji, I'm very upset. Why? You always say Shunyam. You say fullness is Shunyam. So you say, Swamiji says, Adi Shankara says. So very, very upset. He's a nice boy. I treat him like my child, my son. I read to him like that. I said, no, I never said fullness is nothingness. I never said that. No, you did say in the class. I said, yes. Did you not say that nothingness is fullness? And fullness is nothingness. I said, I never say fullness is not nothingness. But nothingness is fullness. Water is not the wave, but the wave is water. Similarly, isn't it? Water is not the wave, but the wave is water. Similarly, nothingness is fullness. But fullness is not nothingness. I said, I never said nothingness is not fullness. I always say nothingness is fullness. But fullness is not nothingness. Is it clear? Atma is not nothingness. Consciousness is not nothingness. But nothingness is consciousness. Isn't it? Nothingness is nothing but unmanifested power. Just consciousness. Anyway, what I'm saying, when we negate everything, it is possible for us to mistake the, when nothing is available for experience, and we mistake the nothingness for the reality. We have to be careful there. We have to see that which experience, the experiencer, the knower of nothingness is distinct from nothingness, is not nothingness, is the reality, the consciousness, which is of the nature of fullness. So in Tamil we say, நிறைவாக இருக்கின்ற அறிவென்னும் பரம்பொருள் இல்லாமையை அறிகின்ற அறிவென்னும் பரம்பொருள் இல்லாமை அல்ல. எனிவே, திஸ் இஸ் தி வேர்ஸ். தி நெக்ஸ்ட் வில் சி நெக்ஸ்ட் கிளாஸ்.
பஞ்சகோஷ பரித்யாகே சாட்சி போதாவசேஷதஃ ஸ்வஸ்வரூபம் ச ஏவ ஸ்யாத். சஹைவ ஸ்வஸ்வரூபம் ஸ்யாத் சூன்யத்வம் தஸ்ய துர்கடம்.
We should strongly conclude சூன்யத்வம் to be the self. We'll continue next class.
ஓம் பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம்.